Hey, well, we know it'll take a good 60-minute effort on Sunday against the Dolphins. They're really good in all three phases of the game, and a team that caused you a lot of problems. They're a good game plan team. They do a good job of keeping off balance. So we're gonna have to be ready to go physically and mentally, and be really alert here on Sunday.
Bill, sometimes at the end of the weeks, you've practiced in the stadium, but I don't recall. Have you practiced in the stadium this year?
No, just that one night for the season, the ticket thing.
Is that more of an availability thing or more of just doesn't really matter?
We just think it's best to do what we're doing.
Sort of along the same lines, this sort of question on, not specific to the game, but players like that you've signed from AFC East teams or have traded for, is there anything to like the idea that you face them twice a year and then get so you maybe know them a little better and that could lead to like interest? I'm thinking about someone like Chris White on special teams, having faced him four times.
You definitely, if you played against a player, that's definitely part of the evaluation because you know who he's playing against and you have a real good evaluation of the matchup. I mean, you can, watch other pro tape and watch teams play other teams. And, there's a lot to be said for that, too. But when you know your player, you know his strengths and weaknesses, you know whether he's, faster than your guy and you know how fast your guy is or not as fast or quicker or not as quick. I think it's a little bit more precise evaluation. Yeah.
And specific to him, you obviously were looking for something on special teams when you claimed him. What are your thoughts on him and going up against him?
Well, young guy, but experienced, and plays in all four phases of the game. So it's he's a core guy for us. Dependable, smart, works hard.
Is he a Tracy White fast? Speed guy? Does it a little different?
Tracy White's pretty fast now. I don't think there's a lot of Tracy Whites floating around out there.
Just trying to connect the last name.
Yeah, it's Tracy White's pretty good. I don't think there's a lot of guys that go in that category. There's a few, but there's not a lot.
Bill, Chandler said yesterday that he's leaned a lot on Rob Ninkovich since he's been here. Sort of from a coaching standpoint, have you seen their sort of on-field relationship develop? And like a year and a half in, is Chandler at the point now where it might be a little bit reciprocal?
Oh, sure. Yeah, no, Chandler does a good job out there communicating with the younger guys and the pass rush and overall alertness to certain formations, tendencies, adjustments that we might have to make. Yeah, Chandler's good. He's smart, and Rob's definitely a help to everybody. He's played linebackers, played on the line, he's played in a kicking game. So he's, whenever he's in there, he's got pretty good level of experience at almost everything, at some time or another in the time he's been here. So, he's done a good job of that. But Chandler's definitely, taken the baton, and, he's done a good job with it too. I'm sure it'll get better, but it's a lot better this year than it was last year because he has a lot more confidence and experience than he had his rookie year. But, those two guys have done a good job for us.
They obviously have different body types and different skill sets, likely. So when you've got guys like that who are playing the same position, how can they benefit each other?
Oh, there's still a lot of commonality in their techniques, hand use, leverage. Obviously, the blocking schemes are usually mirrored, so the reactions and so forth. But, everybody's got a little different makeup than the other guy, but I think there's some differences. There's also a lot of similarities. They both have good quickness. They both have good playing strength. Chandler's a little longer. Rob's a little more compact. But that's, I think when you're talking about playing blocks and using techniques and, hand use and leverage and angles and things like that, it's all, they both got to do pretty much the same thing.
You just mentioned hand use a couple of times in that answer. Is that something that casual media types or casual fans overlook? That's sort of one of those hidden arts. I remember Anthony Pleasant used to spend hours doing flat drills, and is that sort of overlooked by us?
They all do. Yeah. I mean, that's
look when you're in hand-to-hand combat with a guy that's lined up, you know, a few inches away from you. I mean, that's a huge part of it. Hand placement and, you know, being able to knock them off or keep them on or, you know, get proper leverage on it, punch, timing your punch, knocking the punches down, not getting them knocked down, depending on which side of the play you're on. Yeah, absolutely.
That's huge. And is that something that generally develops in the NFL? Because, I mean, guys probably get away with athleticism more in college.
Yeah, I'd say there's a lot more of that in college. You know, guys playing with their shoulders and playing with their forearms and that kind of thing. There's more, for lack of a better word, there's probably more holding, you know, in the NFL. There's more, you know, it's more liberal. So you've got to be able to use your hands defensively to keep their hands off you, and offensively you're allowed to probably use your hands more than what they are in college, and they do that. So that's definitely a big part of the interior line play, hand use, hand techniques. And it's honestly, it's more prevalent on the perimeter too, because you don't see that as much press coverage in college football, and you see a lot of it in the NFL. So in the corners and the wide receivers, you know, chicken fighting, using their hands trying to get off or on each other is, you know, that's something that's a lot more important here probably than what it is in college, where you see a lot of off coverage and quarters and more zone, that kind of thing. There's just less of it. So yeah, I think that's really important.
You have a pretty experienced offensive line. Are you concerned and or surprised that Tom's been sacked 20 times? And when you're looking at an overall sack number, is it usually a combination of line and quarterback?
Combination of line, quarterback, running back, tight end, and receiver. And some of that is also a combination of the previous plays. A lot more sacks on third and long than there are on third and short. Yeah, I'd say it's a combination of all of it. There's certainly room for improvement everywhere, and you know, including on the coaching end. You know, some things that a couple times that really, you know, the play we had on wasn't a good play against what we happen to face. And either we gotta, you know, stay out of that situation or find a different way to handle it, or you know, so. But things come up, you know, a couple times on our end too. So. You know, we got to do a better job all the way across the board. That includes everybody.
Well, yesterday Julian was saying that the thing that helps him the most on punt returns is getting a good read as soon as the ball's in the air of the blockers in front of him. In your mind, what makes him so good and what goes into a unique punt returner?
Well, I mean, a punt returner can't be watching the guys run down the field when he's catching the ball, but while the ball's in the air, there's a, you know, short amount of time there, you know, a second or two where he can start to get an idea of, you know, how the coverage is getting displaced, as opposed to kickoff return where everybody kind of is in their lane and starts down the field on the punt team. By the time, you know, the ball's snapped and the blocking occurs and guys get off the line, it's not usually just a wave of guys. There's some kind of displacement in the coverage. And also, you know, he can get a feel for what kind of depth the gunners have. And so I think that's, you know, what a good returner does is he takes the ball off the punter's foot, sees it, starts to pick up the flight in the air, takes a look at how the coverage is starting to, you know, unfold, come down the field, and get a sense of, you know, what the opportunities might be. And then as the ball is coming in, then he has to get a feel for how close or dangerous those guys are to, you know, hitting him when he catches the ball with a fair catch and that type of thing. So it's, you know, a lot of decision making there in a pretty short amount of time. And, you know, some of that depends on what the return is and, you know, who's, you know, what we're trying to set up and what we're trying to do. So there's definitely a lot of judgment and decision making involved there, no question. And, you know, I'd say the biggest thing for Julian is, you know, one, he makes good decisions, and two, he's aggressive, you know, so he'll take it to the edge. And, but, you know, I think for the most part, he's done a good job of not, you know, putting himself in harm's way, but at the same time being aggressive and taking, you know, making the plays that he can make. You know, he's had a couple balls that have, you know, like last week, you know, bounced, and, you know, he saved us some yards on those without, I think, you know, overexposing himself or the team to, you know, a turnover. So, you know, there's a fine line between, you know, saving a couple yards and taking care of the ball. But when you can do both, then that's, you know, that helps the team.
Is it safe to say hesitation is something you cannot have in that position as a returner?
Yeah, I don't think that's ideal, but let's say sometimes it's better to, you know, make no decision than make the wrong one. Let's put it that way, you know. So if it's make the wrong one or not make one, then sometimes you're better off just getting away from the ball and letting it go rather than trying to, you know, catch it in traffic or catch it on the run or, you know, put yourself in a spot where you could lose the ball.
I wanted to ask you about just the trade deadline and if you've noticed any difference, like, let's say, like this year compared to past years, with just the general thought of, it seems like more trades are actually happening than maybe in the past, but I don't know if that's accurate.
Well, I think the trades that you've seen have been, you know, kind of financially driven. I don't know if they're really, how much of it's personnel trading and how much it's financial trading, however you want to look at it. For draft choices or cap relief, or, you know, but no, I don't see a big dramatic difference. No,
we have to compare it to baseball, where it seems like, you know, there's, I don't know much about that, but it seems like there's a lot of discussions around that time at their trade deadline. I mean, is it any different in terms of like level of discussions, let's say within like this window we're in now to the deadline, than let's say any week of the year? Does it pick up at all?
Again, I can't say that I've noticed any difference this year, but I'd say there's not a lot of it, period. It's certainly way less, way, way less than what there is at the 53 cut, just to pick another period of time. Or maybe the week before, like at the 75 cut, there's a lot more, you know, conversations there about, you know, the makeup of your team and what you need and who might be extra and, you know, all those kind of things. And you know, you're looking at a 16-week season at that point. You know, now you're looking at a much shorter window. You know, I'd say every team in the league is dealing with some type of personnel issues. So where you have extra depth is probably less than what it was in September. And your needs, based on whatever players you've lost, are probably greater than they were in September. So, therefore, you know, you need more. There's less available. It's a shorter season. You know, you're trading for a guy for just, you know, a short amount of time. How quickly can you get him ready? How productive will it be? Is it really worth it? Is it worth it to the team who's trading away the player to get not very much for somebody versus just keeping them and playing with them, even though you get something for them, but it isn't really, you know, it isn't really worth it. You'd rather have them for those 7, 8, 9 games, whatever it is that's left, you know, than some pick at the end of the draft that you may not think has a lot of value. So, and especially if you're worried about your depth at that position with the player that you're moving. So usually when you have that kind of depth, you see more of those trades, I think, in September. When A, the value's higher, and B, teams have more depth at that position, so it's easier for them to move the player because they have other guys at that point. But, you know, 2 months later, you have less depth at that position, you're less likely to move them. I mean, that's just one man's opinion. It's not a survey of the league or anything, but, and, you know, it's so hard to get a guy ready, you know, in a short amount of time. It really, you know. Again, I don't know much about baseball, but I mean, maybe like a third baseman on this team, put him at third base on the other team and let him hit, and, you know, how much is there involved? I mean, I'm sure there's some, but maybe it's not like playing left guard and having, you know, 20 different protections and 24 running plays and, you know, a dozen different defenses you got to block on them every week. You know, it's a little more involved.
Bill, Tom's name popped up on the injury report yesterday. Was he injured in practice, or was that more of just a maintenance type thing?
We'll list our injuries at the end of every day, just like we always do.
Was there any reason why he popped up yesterday versus not being on there on Wednesday?
Yeah. That's why we list him. And that's all I'm going to say about it.
Final question.
So
sort of a random thing, but I've been waiting for like a late Friday last question to ask it. You guys line up differently, like when you stretch before the game? Just sort of caught my eye. Is there anything to that? Is it just to shake it up?
No, we just thought it'd be a little, just felt like we get a little bit more out of it doing it the way we're doing it now. I think it's that big a thing, but just felt just pulling everybody a little bit closer together so they can hear, so we're a little, you know, just make sure we do the best we can with that amount of time and get it done quickly and move on. So it seemed like it took a lot of time to get everybody, you know, running around, lined up, get going, just move through a little bit quicker, yeah.
Late Friday, Bill. Last question of the week.
I'll get you there to watch pregame warm-ups.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you.